This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Yeah, thanks, Dad, for the introduction, and welcome here to the Christian War Room here at BPN Radio, at Seismic Radio. We're going to be looking at the stuff that's going on in society, and we are going to war. We are going to war against philosophies, against dead religion, against falsehood, and against anything that opposes itself against the knowledge of God, against the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That is what we are going to war against. And just to clarify, we are not going to war against flesh and blood. We are going to war against against principalities and spiritual powers of the air, or in the air. And we are pushing the gospel out to the ends of the world, to all creation, until Jesus returns, until our Lord comes back. Okay, one of the things I want to look at today, and got this long list of all the different things, you know, we could create war rooms and we could sort of get into and sort of try and produce materials to take down strongholds which have set themselves up, which have manifested themselves, placed themselves in the countryside, setting itself up against the knowledge of God. And what I want to look at today is I want to look at the supernatural and supernatural revelation. And we've got a big problem here within Christianity, because it's one of the things where maybe an overemphasis on faith, where it was considered to be virtuous not to have any proof, not to have any either scientific proof or any other proof, and to still believe and to still put your trust in Christ. And don't get me wrong, it's honorable and it is good, you know, if despite no miracles, despite no, you know, massive revelation, signs in the sky, or anything like that, that you are still determined to follow Christ and to put all your trust in Jesus Christ. And it's very recommendable. And Jesus said it himself, you know, blessed are those who do not see and believe. And I think one thing which has gone wrong is that we have been living in the absence of the expectation of external revelation of God. And obviously there's some Christian groups who say, you know, the revelation we have is the word of God, and it all, you know, stops with that. Okay, then what happened is we got the Pentecostal movement, and we got other movements as well, which suddenly have got a huge emphasis on the miraculous, on the supernatural, on answers to prayers, and it is something which I think is very, very important, actually. We shouldn't discard it, and we shouldn't be discouraged either. So if somebody is sick, the Bible is very clear. It says, you know, call the elders, anoint the person with oil. And again, you can interpret this as, you know, just a sign of faith or a sign of obedience, that you take a little bit of oil and you anoint the person. And the person is invited to confess their sins, and you just pray about it, and the person will be whole again. That is what it says in the Bible. But it also talks in Corinthians about gifts of healing, so that there are particular people who are looking for spiritual gifts, and God grants spiritual gifts, and he gives them out, and certain people have got a gift of healing. And it talks about gifts of healing. So it might be that certain people, you know, they pray for somebody who's got back pain, and it always goes away. Others, they pray for maybe cancer, and the cancer always just goes away and disappears. Other people, you know, pray for maybe other things, and they've got a gifting in a certain area, you know, a bone issue or whatever it may be, and it kicks in, you know, it always works. And if it is a gift, it tends to kick in all the time. There's also the prophetic, you know, where we speak God's words into people's lives, and again, some people have got the gifting and some don't. And it is a gifting. There's a gifting of discernment, But again, it's some people, if there's something evil, if there's a problem, they can just pick up on it. They know what is wrong, and there's no physical or normal explanation for them having this knowledge. And again, what we should really do is we should find out what the gifting is God has given us and embrace it rather than to just hide it under the table and not do anything with it. And when you look within the body of Christ, there certainly is a gifting. I tell you one story, and it's a preacher man. And in Germany, there was always a big rift between evangelicals and Pentecostals. Yeah, and the Pentecostals would say the evangelicals haven't got the full gospel because they don't practice the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then the evangelicals, or some of them, were very suspicious about what's going on within the Pentecostal and charismatic circles, and they say, oh, this can't be from God, you know, this is whatever it is, but if it were from God, it would be different. And so you got like these two camps, and fortunately, when I became a Christian, I had friends in both camps, and I got to know both camps reasonably well, and I can testify that I found God in both camps. You know, he was present there as well. Anyway, this is the story of one preacher, and he was... He was one of these guys who says, oh, you know, 1 Corinthians, the gifting and the gifts of the Spirit, that was, you know, for the beginning of the church. But then as the church moved on, it wasn't really necessary anymore because the church was established and we didn't need those things. Again, that was sort of one of the doctrines he would say. So I think the term is a cessationist. That's a theological term. So they say that the gift of the Spirit stopped being used, stopped being available, hence they ceased. And that is the end of the story. Anyway, he told me a story, and he said that on one day there was a mother, and she had about 10 kids or something, and she died, and there were sort of very hateful people, yeah. The whole family, and the family was known in town, and the Lutheran pastor had asked him, you know, being sort of an evangelical pastor, to take over the funeral. And he found an excuse or something because he couldn't face the horror of, you know, what was going on there. And anyway, the evangelical pastor thought, like, the pastor I knew, his name was Herbert, and Herbert, he thought, I need to preach the gospel, you know, I need to get it in there. And yet he was worried at the same time, and because he knew, you know, how can I stand in front of these people and there will just be this hatred that they will say, why has God allowed this to happen? Why, you know, have these 10 kids lost their mother, you know, at such a young age? And anyway, he went on his knees and he was seeking God. And suddenly in the middle of the night, God spoke to him and God gave him a message to deliver. And it was a message about Jerusalem, you know, and comforting people who have suffered a great loss, and he was sort of talking about the comfort of God, and he tried to get the message across, and he said that he went along with this message, and he started speaking about it, and he said that something happened in this room, that there was suddenly the presence of God in this room, and people resonated with the message he had to speak and the message God had given him. And I thought to myself, and people just, you know, just went with it. And he doesn't know, you know, whether anybody gave his life to Christ on that day or whatever happened. But one thing which I learned from that, we've got this pastor who says that the gifts of the Spirit are no longer available and he is practicing the gifts of the Spirit. He was practicing the gift of prophecy. He was waiting for the word of God, and God gave him a word, and he spoke this word into a horrible situation. These people went, and they couldn't cope, and they couldn't make head or tail on it. And yet, it was a word from God for these people, and it resonated with them, and it went right down into their hearts, and he could see this. He said, you know, it was... you know, the initial attitude, you came in there, you know, oh, this is the preach, and how dare he talk about this, and how dare God do whatever has been happening with the death of this mother, and so on. And he said, and all this just went away within an instant. All this just went away. And so, my friends, the point I'm trying to make is that the supernatural is very important. We need to have revelation of God in our lives. We need to have the courage to pray for the sick and to just pray for them. Yeah. And if they get healed, praise the Lord and acknowledge for the great thing he has done. If they don't get healed, we need to pray. You know, we need to seek God. We still need to do this, and we still need to meet people's needs wherever they are. So that is very important. Okay, what else? I tell you another story. When I first became a Christian, and I found this quite exciting because it's maybe a little bit, you know, if you've got a baby and your baby cries out for something, you just give to the baby whatever it wants, yeah, and you try to pacify it. And what I found is that when I was a young Christian, I was 16 years old, that prayers were just answered one after the other. And it was kind of amazing. There were little miracles almost happening on a daily basis where I had a problem and I just came to God and asked him for an answer. And then within a very short time, the answers were fulfilled and God was answering them. And it was really amazing to walk through this. And this lasted for quite a few years. And then it sort of ebbed off a little bit. And I probably didn't need this as well because I knew that God could do things. But I also knew that God sometimes put me in situations where I needed to learn to persevere. And so I wouldn't get an answer to my prayers straight away. But again, the supernatural is very, very important. And I'm not doing it myself. I haven't done it. But I've got sort of a mental note. I would encourage you to write down answers to prayers. I think I mentioned this on these programs once before. There's my friend's son goes to a Christian school, and they've got a prayer board on the wall. Yeah, and they, you know, when they start the morning, they just ask around whether anybody's got a prayer request, and then they write it on a piece of paper, and then they've got this big board on the wall, and then they look at the stuff they've prayed for before, and if a prayer has been answered, they put it into the answered section, and if the prayer has not been answered, they just leave it in there. And what you find is, and for the kids, it's very, very easy to see that the side of the board where the answered prayers are becomes bigger and bigger, and there are more bits of paper on there than ever before, and the area on the board where they've got the prayers they're still praying for is fairly slim and fairly small. And I think very often in our lives it's the same thing, that we have got lots of things we pray for and God hears our prayers, but we just forget about the answers God has given us, and we just stash it away somewhere. And sometimes the Lord needs to remind us of all the great things he has done already and make us aware of, you know, all the prayers that have been answered in our lives. And it might be a point to have something similar in our lives. So if we've got a board with the prayers, the stuff we are praying for, and also a section in our board where we move for the stuff that's already been answered, and then see how this pile of paper is growing on one side of the board where God really responds, where the supernatural really kicks in our lives. And what a great witness it is as well, if anybody ever comes in and, you know, looks at this board and people are not a Christian, and you can just say, that side is the stuff I'm praying for, that side is the stuff that's being answered. Sounds great, but that's maybe something for the war room as well. And to have a board like that in the war room, strategic board that you can pray strategically and tactically into situations, and then when they are resolved, you can just stick them up there and do this. Okay, why is it important to embrace the supernatural, to look at the supernatural? Because there's a great attraction in that. A lot of people let me put it this way, a lot of people outside the church, they are sort of intrigued by the supernatural. And the big problem is they very easily slip into the occult. And I sort of remember that my brother's boss, you know, he went, I was just a young Christian, so didn't really respond the way I should have. But my brother's boss, he went to a society evening with his friends, and they had a seance. And anyway, he started telling me that they were talking to dead people, and it was real, because, you know, they were talking about events, and on that event he had a certain shirt on, and nobody could have known this in this room, and he just got all the information about the shirt he was wearing. I'm not quite sure, I don't remember what my response was. I was a little bit taken aback, I remember that, but I sort of warned him that this is not necessarily the dead person that's talking, but it might just be a demon. And the Bible is very clear, because we are surrounded by, you know, the rulers of the air. We are surrounded by angels protecting us, but also by demons. Yeah? And demons, you know, angels from the other side, from the devil's side, to pick up on all sorts of information. And we shouldn't underestimate the potential of these creatures, the brain potential, the memory, and nothing in comparison to what we are. You know, we are very limited in what we can do and what we understand. These creatures are not. They are not limited at all. And they can, you know, collect all this information and then, you know, try and deceive people when they've got the seance. But anyway, they were totally intrigued, and, you know, if I come along and I tell them, yeah, I do pray as well, and sometimes, you know, things go better, it doesn't really wash it. But if I tell them and I said, look, you know, I recently prayed for a woman, and, you know, she had serious pain for a long time, doctors couldn't fix her. As a friend of myself, we prayed for her, and God fixed her there and then. And she's okay now. I mean, that's a different story, yeah, when you can say something like that. Or I've experienced healing myself on two occasions where, in one instance, I had some sort of nervous complaint and doctors couldn't fix it and they didn't know what to do. Somebody prayed for me and it went away. And in another instance, I had a problem with my feet to the point that I couldn't walk anymore, and I was de facto disabled. And I didn't even ask for prayer. I was just went to a prayer meeting, and some guy just came in there, the preacher, and he said that, you know, there's somebody who's got a problem in his left ankle, and God is healing you right now. And I had to check out, you know, whether it was me. I mean, I had problems. I couldn't, you know, people were standing up whilst prayer session was going on. I couldn't stand up for a long period of time because of the pain. And nothing really happened, you know, that moment. But I remember it was sort of a three-day event, and I was in bed, and I woke up the next morning, and the pain was gone. I didn't have the pain anymore. Everything was fine, and it's never come back. And again, sometimes I have to remind myself of what God has done in my life, you know, that something was a real problem to the point that I was almost crippled. Yeah. And God has just healed it, and I didn't even ask him for it. Yeah. He just did it. And that is the supernatural. That is the supernatural. And that's something we need to maybe take notes of. And it's something maybe for our war rooms as well, where we record testimonies. I mean, I'm sure if you go to your church, and let's say you've got about 20 people attending your church, and you start asking people, you know, and start asking whether you could interview them of something God has done in their lives, you know, some miracle, some answer to prayer, something amazing where they were in a really difficult situation and then God pulled them out of it. I'm sure that everyone has got not just one, but dozens of stories to tell if you give them a little bit of time to think about it. And how great is it to just record all this stuff and to create a database of the great miracles and the great deeds God has done, and to publicize them as well. And it's a lot easier as well, because everyday people have got everyday problems, and God comes into their everyday problems and he just answers prayer, and he pulls people out, and he gives them jobs, he heals them, he you know, restores peace to them, he gets into very tricky situations and lifts them out, he guides them in different ways, and people make sometimes decisions led by God, which from a human point of view don't make any sense whatsoever, but with hindsight were the best thing they could have done. So there's so many things, you know, which again, people can relate to, and it can build faith of Christians, you know, that they will dare to pray about the impossible in their lives. And also, it's a very interesting thing for non-Christians to see that there is a God who responds to even little, insignificant people like we are. So it's very, very important to do this. Obviously, there is some stuff going on, and again, some of it is quite contentious as well. There's Sid Ross. He's got a YouTube channel which is running 24/7 now, and why not? You know, let's do it. And he, for years, he's just been interviewing people about supernatural experiences they've had. And it is, his program is called It's Supernatural, and he just does it all the time. Some of the stuff, you know, which you hear is very dubious. I mean, he has had people, I think it was him as well, he has people on his show who allegedly had heaven visits, and they wrote a book, and, you know, they made a lot of money with it, but then later they felt a bit guilty and they started recanting and they said, no, it never really happened. You know, it was all fake and it was all wrong. So obviously there are negative things as well, but there are a lot of positive things where you can get a lot of encouragement from experiences people have had with the Lord, with God, supernatural experiences. Right. That is something we need to go for, and we need to look at the supernatural and the miracles in our lives. We've got a few minutes left. Let's look at some other aspects as well. One big problem we've got in the church is that a lot of stuff, you know, is happening in the church, and there's a lot of supernatural stuff happening as well. But here we go. Not everything that is supernatural is necessarily from God. And again, we need, Corinthians talks about this, 1 Corinthians, we need a spirit of discernment to see whether stuff is from God or it isn't from God. And I'll give you one story. There was, it was a black friend of mine. He went to a black church, and he was telling me a story which was actually quite shocking. And so black churches are very lively, you know, much too lively for my liking. I'm sort of quiet guy, and I don't move about a lot. If you know, people dance in church, the maximum you'll see me do is my foot moving from the right to the left. That's pretty much the way I am, the way I'm wired, and it's okay. You know, it's nothing wrong with that, and it's okay for, you know, black churches to dance around and be very lively. I haven't got an issue with that at all. But anyway, he went to this church, And he said that he spoke to a preacher, and the preacher was a guest speaker. And anyway, he went to toilet, and he wanted to wash his hands after he went to toilet, which obviously is a good thing. That's what you do. And he was looking for some soap, and he didn't find soap. And he saw this little bottle, and there was some oil in there, and he thought it was liquid soap. So he put it on his hands, yeah. And anyway, he washed it off, and then he started preaching. And then some really weird stuff started taking place. So he was preaching, and he lifted up his hands. And whenever he lifted up his hands, the people in the front row, they started falling over. Yeah. And so he thought, what's going on here? Anyway, he just carried on, and it just carried on like this. You know, he was raising his hands, and people in the front row, first couple of rows, they were falling over. Then the preacher, the resident preacher, you know, the pastor of this church, he eventually cornered him, and he said, "Have you taken, you know, this oil, you know, which was there in the, you know, in the bathroom?" And he said, "What do you mean?" And then it sort of turned out that the thing which he thought was soap was just a bottle of oil, and apparently the preacher used this oil, poured it on his hands, and then suddenly he had all these magical powers that people were falling over, right, left, and center, whenever he would lift up his hands. So anyway, he thought, this is crazy, you know, whatever's going on here. And this guest speaker, he just thought, right, I'm out of here. I've got nothing to do with this. Again, the suggestion is there that whatever has happened, that it wasn't of God, but that it was something else, that it was some magic power, some other forces which were behind it to make these people fall over, and for him to have this demonstration of power, and people really flocked to it, and they thought it was really great. And again, this is the same thing. We need to make sure that whatever power we are dealing with is the power of God, and it's not some other spiritual manifestation which is not necessarily from God. Paul, or the Bible, charges us to test the spirits. And that's very, very important, that we test the spirits and that we know what is taking place and what is happening in our churches. Whether there's an evil spirit there, you know, a spirit which is not of God doing some stuff. And obviously we are under attack all the time, and this is where we come in with the war room. We need to discern these things. The supernatural is great, and we need to embrace it. We need to invite God to perform miracles within our midst, and for the pagans, for the world to see that God is truly among us. And that is something which we need to do. But then on the other side, we need to make sure that dirty spirits, that demonic spirits are not taking over the show. That it's not them that come in and, you know, give us supernatural abilities, but that we are led by the Holy Spirit, that we are led by the Spirit of God all the way. And this is very, very important. And again, I think the danger is, and the danger is very often when people put the spiritual experience over and above the worship of God. And I think at that point it becomes very dangerous, and people open themselves up to all sorts of stuff which may not necessarily be from God. So we need to put our Lord Jesus Christ first and foremost in our lives. We need to place God right at the top, and we need to worship him with all of our hearts, all of our souls, and all of our minds. And the spirituality, the supernatural, should only take a secondary place. And we need to make sure that that we will not elevate the supernatural experience, the emotions, whatever it may be that comes with it, over and above God. It always has to be below that. And if it is below, then there's a good chance that everything is okay. Let me use a Jewish term, everything is kosher. There's a good chance that everything is kosher. If we don't, we open ourselves up for all sorts of problems, like in this black church with the magic oil, where people thought this is the power of God, but it was something else, most likely. Okay, this is the War Room. If you want to listen to this talk again, you can do this at christianwarroom.com. We are just looking at trying to get you going with your War Room and to zoom in to some of the things we are discussing here. And you know, to maybe create something that is a great resource for the body of Christ and will encourage people who do not know Jesus to start asking, to start knocking at his door, and to open up the door of the hearts for Jesus to come in. It's very, very important. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we just want to pray that you will give us the spirit of discernment, that we can understand what is from you and what isn't from you. We pray, Lord, that you will open the doors of supernatural experiences, that we can minister the gifts of the Spirit into a world that has lost the plot, into a world that doesn't know what is good and what is right anymore. We pray, Lord, that you will open our hearts and our minds to knowing you, to understanding who you are. And Lord, that we can carry the fire of righteousness, the fire of judgment, and the fire of your Holy Spirit into this world, and that people will, Lord, that they will fall on their knees, wanting to worship you, wanting to know you, and confessing and testifying that you are with us. We pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to christianwarroom.com. That's christianwarroom.com.